And this hour, it is the business of Greater Newport with the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. And our chamber host today is our Director of Entrepreneurship and Innovation, Molly Fraser-Williams. Molly, nice to have you back with us.
Thank you, Bruce. Good morning. Good to be here.
Good to be with you. And we know that you're always going to have something thought-provoking and interesting, and you're at it again with your latest industry spotlight. Tell us who's in the spotlight this time around.
All right. As I told you last time, we're launching this industry spotlight series for the year. Every other month, we'll spotlight a different exciting industry in Rhode Island that's doing innovative, cool things that people should know about. So last month in February, we did the food and beverage industry spotlight. And later today, we are doing the med tech industry spotlight this afternoon at Innovate Newport at 4 p.m.
Well, if it's anything like the food and beverage spotlight, there are going to be a lot of interested people, a lot of new breakthroughs and innovation, and everyone is going to have something to learn, and it's going to be a great afternoon and evening. So we'll give you all the details in just a few minutes, and we'll meet some of the participants in today's industry spotlight at Innovate Newport. So we kick things off here in the business of Greater Newport with the business of the week, sponsored by Humphreys Building Supply. And Molly, why don't you introduce our business of the week?
Yes, absolutely. I'm happy to introduce Allison Novick, who is the director of development
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center, and our dear friend.
So,
and it's nice to have you back with us, Allison.
It's great to be back. Good morning, Molly, and good morning, Bruce. Happy to talk with you this morning.
It's a lovely
day. Well, we hear a lot of exciting things going on at the Dr. Martin Luther King Center. Can you tell us a little about them?
I sure can. There's so much going on at the center, and if anyone has driven by or been by Marcus Wheatland in the past year, they've seen a lot of things going on. We've just completed a 13-month renovation project. During that time period, we stayed open with all programs operating. We were at four different sites. So that was a real heavy lift, not just for us, but for our clients. And we've made that work. And in January, we cut the ribbon on our new spaces. We've completely renovated the center. We've made it more client friendly. We've enabled our programs to be delivered more efficiently, with more dignity, and with a lot more impact. So I invite you and everyone listening to come in and reach out to me and come in for a tour. I'd love to show you how we've improved the MLK.
Fantastic. And I'm looking at your calendar, and I just can't get over all of the different activities you have for the community. Are there certain ones that are extra popular?
We serve about well over 6,000 people a year throughout Newport County, and we do that through a variety of programs. Some of them are hunger relief programs. Some of them are education programs. We have a preschool, an after school, a summer camp, which we're registering for if parents are looking. We've got a great summer camp. And our community programs are really growing. We have three free exercise programs a week that are free of charge. We have midday meals three times a week. We have lunches and dinners. We have fresh produce that people can get. And we actually have an outdoor concert series that will be five concerts throughout the summer coming on. There's a lot going on at the MLK.
Wow. That's fantastic.
There really is. And of course, it being spring and it being a spring day, it is a great time to talk about a program that we are all familiar with and the need of which grows each and every year. And that's the Ton of Love.
We love the Ton of Love. You know, yeah, for anyone who's not familiar with it, the Chamber for decades now has been, through their wonderful ambassador program, has been hosting a food drive to help us meet the need in our community. And let me tell you quickly why that's so important. It's staggering for me to even say this. This year, we will provide over 1 million meals. That's right, 1 million meals through the MLK. And we really need help from the community to do that. So I looked this morning, and I'm so grateful. There are so many different businesses. There's 8 in Newport, 4 in Portsmouth, 2 in Tiverton, 1 in Jamestown, 12 in Middletown, and folks can go and drop off their food there, or they can make a donation to us and help us provide lots of varied and healthy food through our food pantry, mobile food pantry, and food delivery to homebound seniors.
And how can people find out more about it?
They can find more about it on our website and our social media. We're at Newport MLK for both Facebook and Instagram. It's on the Chamber's website as well. And we would be delighted if people, if it's easier for them, and they're like, you know what, I just want to bring it to the MLK. They can come to deliver food to us and just say it's for Tons of Love. We receive donations Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5 at our loading dock. We make it nice and easy for you.
Now, every year there are so many companies and organizations that participate, and I know that you want to mention a few of them, so go ahead and mention as many as you would like.
Sure. Bank Newport, we have AAA, we have the Boys and Girls Club helps us out. Con Litwin has been terrific. Jamestown Arts Center. Let's see. Trying to do this from memory because, of course, as Murphy's Law would have it, my computer just locked up this second.
There we go. Are there folks that you're welcoming back, Allison, or are there some new folks that are jumping on this year?
You know, I have seen some new folks that are coming in.
Oh, that's good.
I think that, yeah, Train with Jane, they've done that for a long time. We've also seen, we've got lots of folks coming in from, I'm trying to get my computer to come up as quickly as it can here.
Well, just from what you can go off memory, tell us how long this Ton of Love drive continues.
It's been, I ran a report just before, and it's been over, there's over 23,000 pounds of food.
Oh my.
Isn't that incredible? Has been donated since this time. And I just think that that's just amazing. And it's been since before we had digital records.
So that's a good long time.
Yeah. It's been since well before 2005. And we're just astonished with that. And it's really been incredible, and it just shows what can happen when, you know, committed businesses, and, you know, we know that the MLK businesses are asked to give to so many people so many times through lots of worthy causes, so we're so grateful when they make the opportunity to choose the MLK and to choose needy people in the community.
Allison, one final question. You talked about how businesses can support. How can individuals support MLK Center and get involved?
Sure. They can come to our website, which is mlkccenter.org. That's our, that pesky C in there is definitely confusing, or they can actually reach out to me directly. My name is Allison Novick. I'm on the website. They can reach me at 846-4828. And I'd be happy to have a conversation. And however someone wants to get involved, whether it's volunteering, donating to Tons of Love, learning more, or participating in our programs, or maybe all of those things. We'd be delighted to have a conversation.
Well, we're delighted to be able to talk to you. It is always great to have you with us, and we wish you the best, all kinds of success in this year's Ton of Love and in all of what you do there. Such a valuable resource in the community. So we thank you and everyone there at the MLK Center for your service. Thanks very, very much, and it's always good to have you with us on the radio. It's the business of Greater Newport, Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. And today, our spotlight is on the industry spotlight. It's MedTech with Director of Entrepreneurship and Innovation, Molly Fraser-Williams at Innovate Newport. Molly, just set the scene for us. What time will all of this get underway today?
So the MedTech industry spotlight is today at Innovate Newport. It starts at 4 o'clock. For the first half hour, we're going to have networking and exhibit tables that will kind of showcase startup companies in the medical industry, med tech industry. And then at 4:30, we go into our conference hall where we'll have a moderated panel discussion around the industry and with amazing panelists and Q&A. And the event will end around 6:15, 6:30. But I'm so excited to introduce a few guests today. The first guest is our actual moderator of the panel.
Yes.
Aidan Petrie, who is the co-founder and managing partner of NEMIC, which stands for New England Medical Innovation Center. So welcome, Aidan.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. Since we don't have a lot of time, I'd love to just dive into explaining to our listeners, what is NEMIC? Who are you and how did it come to be?
Excellent. So NEMIC is New England Medical Innovation Center, as you said. We set up, a lady called Lydia Shin and I set it up about 5 years ago. We are a nonprofit and our focus is on helping individuals and companies in the med tech and health tech space essentially form themselves into a place that they can then be scalable, can raise money, and ultimately can go and make the world a better place by bringing good health technologies to the world. And we set it up because in our professional lives, I had been the co-founder and chief innovation officer of a company called Zymedica, which is now we sold and is now called Veranex. Veranex is the largest medical device developer, I think, in the world, probably at this point. We had seen a lot of great individuals, great technologies that were going to make a meaningful difference, essentially fail because of things that the founders didn't know they didn't know. And so at the core of NEMIC is an educational capability where we have a huge network of individuals to support those companies. And essentially we figure out what the knowledge gaps are and then we fill them such that they can then go out to investors and grant makers and so forth to raise the funds they need to progress.
Amazing. And before we go further, you had said that NEMIC supports med tech and health tech startups. Can you explain the difference?
Sure. Med tech is a harder defined line. Med tech are usually machines, diagnostics, tools, digital health products that are regulated by the FDA. And it's by a very particular part of the FDA. And this was the world that we had lived in for many years. And it comes with a rule book, which I'm going to say is non-fungible. It is basically, this is the way that the government would like you to put a product on the market to ensure that it is both safe and is efficacious, that it works. Health tech is a slightly grayer line, which are usually interventions that may not be fully regulated, but are bringing health benefits to people in different ways, but may not fall under that particular category. So it just gives us, we're seeing a lot of useful, sometimes there's things like services, and we're working with a number of companies that are providing clinical services right now, where we know the lay of the land, but they don't fall under the hard jurisdiction of the FDA.
I see. Okay, thank you for explaining that. At today's event, you're going to be moderating a panel. On that panel, we will have three startup companies, the founders. So that'll be really interesting to hear their point of view and services they've accessed and where they are in the stage of things. But we also are really excited to welcome Neil Steinberg, who's the chairman of Rhode Island Life Science Hub. Can you please explain what the Rhode Island Life Science Hub is and what that means for Rhode Island?
I think, yes, I can. The Life Science Hub is an incredible opportunity for Rhode Island to truly compete in this very large industry and demonstrate that we have the ability to work over and above other states' opportunities, bring companies in, and so forth. And the reason and what it entails is essentially a pot of money that I believe came from the federal government that will be distributed into doing two particular things. One is to stand up on the side that we're not involved in, which is the drug development side, and to create wet labs. And then the other is to really build all of these startups that we're seeing in the med tech space. And that is what we have right now is we've got a ton of companies that we're working with both in the state, but also are coming out of places like Cambridge that are looking for the services we have, but we don't have an adequate lure to bring them to Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. And so the Life Sciences Hub has a funding capability, which we are hoping and indeed expecting that they're going to put together in a way that both brings companies here, builds them here, and that in turn will have a very positive knock-on effect for the economy as a whole. And we've sort of convinced ourselves, and I think we have the backing for it, to say that Rhode Island is exceedingly well placed to create a center for excellence in medtech development, certainly west of the Mississippi. So I think this is something. I mean, we grew Zymedica to, I think, 300 people here in Rhode Island. I think we can do exactly the same with the help of the Life Science Hub, and relatively little funding can go a very long way to securing companies and building them here.
Aiden, if I could ask a question.
It certainly sounds like a great way to attract companies and keep them here, and let them see Rhode Island as a leader in this space.
We have just over a minute. If I could ask a question, Aiden, do you see a disconnect with what you just were talking about and another component, and you touched on it a little bit in terms of funding, where it was just mentioned that there was at least one medtech type company that was interested in locating in Rhode Island, but went to the Boston area, and because there was a vital need that we weren't fulfilling here in Rhode Island. Is there a disconnect in part of this procedure?
I absolutely. I think that is a recognition within the intent of the fund is NEMIC. I'm going to say we've got a short list right now of probably 50 companies that are building and growing in and around Rhode Island that at a certain point are going to need a larger basket of funds, and they're going to go to wherever that is offered. And I think that the money requirement is actually not particularly big, but it is incredibly important in forming those companies, and so and getting them to the next level of sort of in their development and progress. So I want to say that Commerce Rhode Island and the Department of Labor and Training have done a really good job in the first small granting amount that gets them going. But when they're ready for that, for what we'll call a larger tranches of funding, that is what with the gap that this Life Science Hub, if we can fill it with a Life Science Hub, then I think we're in a really strong position. And I truly think we can, with a combination of NEMIC's knowledge base, our network, education, and funding, we can really do something quite meaningful here.
Incredibly exciting. Thank you so much, Aiden.
Aiden, just tell us how, in advance of you coming in and moderating the industry spotlight today, the panel discussion, just in case there's some who are not going to be able to attend and would like to find out more about NEMIC, how can we go about that?
I think we've managed to choose a name that if you type in NEMIC, we will come right up. And I think our website gives a pretty good sense of who we are and what we do, and if what help we need, and if there are, you know, donors out there, we'd love that. And so you'll get a great sense of what our mission is right from the website.
Excellent. So good to talk to you. We look forward to seeing you moderate the panel today, and it's great to have you with us.
Terrific. Great to meet
you. Thank
you,
Aidan.
Thank you.
Aidan Petrie from Nemec, kicking off our spotlight of the industry spotlight today, MedTech. And that'll all be happening this afternoon at Innovate Newport. More details on that in a moment. Here in today's Business of Greater Newport. Welcome back. It's the Business of Greater Newport. We do it every Thursday in this hour, newportchamber.com. And it's the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. Today, it's our Innovation and Entrepreneurship Director, Molly Fraser-Williams. And Molly, we have another exciting industry spotlight going on MedTech. It all gets underway this afternoon. And let's meet our next guest.
Yes. So our last guest was Aidan Petrie, who is the moderator of today's panel. And now I'm excited to introduce Melissa Bowley, who's the founder of Flourish Care. She's going to tell you a little bit about Flourish Care, but I'll just say Melissa has been finding solutions to improve maternity care. That has been her mission. So Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and very excited about tonight's event. So thank you for having me on the radio show.
It's always exciting. Good warm up for this afternoon.
Yep.
So let's tell our listeners, what is Flourish Care and why did you start the business?
Yeah, I always like to tell the story about how I kind of came about the business, which was a very personal experience, and then explain a little bit more about the solution that we currently have. But my background is actually biomedical engineering. I spent over 20 years in healthcare developing medical devices for women's health. And when I became pregnant with my two kids, which are they're now 7 and 9, two crazy boys, I had a lot of trouble navigating the healthcare system, and was really shocked at how little time we got with providers and just a lot of the questions that I had that went unanswered. And a fellow engineering friend of mine came to me and said, you know, I think that you would benefit from a doula. And I said to her, a do what? I had no idea what she was talking about. I was like, I spend my days in clinical research, and this is not a term I've ever heard. So I went back to the research, which is always my thing to do as an engineer. And I was like, what the heck is a doula? And when I saw the results, I saw that adding doulas to your birth team, and I'll talk about what they are in a second, they actually reduce the possibility that your baby ends up in the NICU. It reduces the chances that you have a C-section. It reduces the chances that you have postpartum depression and anxiety, and it increases breastfeeding rates. I was like, it seems like this should be standard of care. Other countries, it is standard of care. And so I ended up hiring and spending a lot of money out of pocket to have a doula. And I actually think that was the reason that I had a really incredible childbirth experience. I had that person that was based in my community that was really, able to support me from pregnancy all the way through postpartum, as that person I could just, you know, ask questions of, or have come into my home and talk about my anxieties and fears about childbirth, or postpartum was like a total, you know, unexpected challenge with, you know, your hormones and mental health and physical health. There's a lot you recover from. So it was really that experience that drove me to start Flourish Care, which is really making doula care the new standard of care, that every single family gets this reimbursed through insurance and gets easy access to a doula that has the experiences and support that individual needs. So what we do is we're ultimately a tech-enabled maternal health care platform, and we partner with the leading health systems. Women and Infants was one of our biggest partners. And we actually partner with them to offer 18-month-long doula-led wellness programs through insurance coverage, which is really, really key. And it's taken a long time to get to this point for people to acknowledge the value of doula care. But now with 500 peer-reviewed articles, we're doing a clinical study with Brown University. It's undeniable what those benefits are. So that's ultimately what we're doing. And we're expanding across New England. We just launched in Massachusetts, and then expanding across the country in the long term.
That's amazing. So how did you have much resistance at all getting in the door and talking to healthcare providers? I mean, just breaking down some preconceived notions or anything like that?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So it's interesting because a lot of the reasons for insurance coverage has actually been driven by state law. So Rhode Island was the first state that required every insurer, commercial or Medicaid, to offer doula care to all families in Rhode Island, which was huge. And that was actually put through state mandated law in 2021, and then it was implemented in 2022. And that gave us kind of like the start to our company, which was really, really huge. But just because the law changes doesn't mean that it's going to be easy to adopt this in clinical practice. And ultimately, in order for this to become standard of care, only 6% of families get access to doula care today. And we want that to be 60, 70%, you know, obviously available to 100%. But what we're seeing is there's some barriers to adoption. Some, you know, providers, my provider was like, I don't understand why you would need a doula in the room. But ultimately, he was like, whatever your wishes are, is actually, you know, what we'll do. But at the end of the day, the proof is in the clinical study. So if you have a doula added to your care team, and they work in collaboration together for that patient's best possible experience and best outcomes, they've shown the outcomes are better. So it's actually better for the practice. So I think it's a matter of education, people understanding what role they play. And that's a big part of what we do. We go into our partners and we do a lot of training around what is doula care? What does that mean? How do they get, you know, basically pulled into that birth team so that everyone's working towards the same goal together?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so how does one get started with this? I mean, and actually, I'll get to that. For you, do you have to, as you're building your business, are you also trying to build a whole network of doulas and get them trained? Do they need to get trained? What is that?
Yeah. It's a great question. Yeah. So doulas have certification requirements, and most of the states actually have requirements that they've set out, and you're starting to see alignment across all the states on what's required. So doulas need to have a certification, and there's several different certifying bodies out there. DONA, CAPA are some of the ones that a lot of people know, but there's a whole list of trainings that doulas can go to. So at minimum, they need a certification. They need to be CPR trained. They need that certification, and they need certain number of hours that they've done, you know, childbirth education, that they've done actual in-person birth support, postpartum support, and they submit that to the state and they get a perinatal doula certification. And so that's the starting point. What we found is we're supporting a lot of Medicaid patients that didn't have access to doula care before the state law was passed. So we're actually requiring other trainings as well. So trauma-informed care, mental health screenings, how to do that across, you know, the patient population, because some trainings require that, other ones don't. So we have our own Flourish Care standard. So eventually all the doulas have a certain level above the trainings that are required by the state in order to support patients through the Flourish Care platform.
We have about a minute left, Melissa and Molly, in this segment. And I'll tell you, this is nothing new. I am well acquainted. We are well acquainted in this household with doulas. We had them, and I have two kids in college. So
amazing.
And in Rhode Island, no less, let me make sure that, I mean, I know we called ours, we called them doulas, but were they formally known as midwives?
So midwives are generally practicing at the hospital. So doulas do not deliver babies. Doulas are there for your emotional and physical support from pregnancy, during the actual birth, and then up to 12 months postpartum. So they are not a replacement for a midwife. A midwife is actually performing the delivery and generally is at the hospital, versus a doula is somebody based in your community that usually has gone through a similar experience that you have, so that they can really support you through that entire continuum of care.
My understanding was, and this is, it's kind of the opposite of the conversation we were having with Aiden, Rhode Island was actually ahead of the curve in this, because the familiarity level seemed to be way ahead in Rhode Island, and I'm going back 20 years.
Right, exactly. Rhode Island has been at the very forefront of this, and you're seeing states like Massachusetts that actually just went, Rhode Island has been in place for 2 years now with this law. Massachusetts has just implemented Medicaid reimbursement as of December 8th of last year. So you're seeing a lot of states actually follow our footsteps, which is really incredible.
That is incredible. How can we find out more about Flourish Care?
So flourishcommunitycare.com is our website. Patients can go, or moms and families can go and actually check their insurance coverage. So that's usually the first step, is what benefits are you actually covered for? Once we understand that, there's another assessment that they can do to find the right fit within our network. And then we can get them enrolled within a matter of days.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to hearing from you today in the Industry Spotlight. And it's great to have you with us, Melissa Bulley from Flourish Care. In our Industry Spotlight, Med Tech, coming today to Innovate Newport. More details, if you missed the details earlier, in just a minute with Molly Frazier-Williams here in the Business of Greater Newport. It's the Business of Greater Newport, Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. Our Director of Entrepreneurship and Innovation, Molly Frazier-Williams, our host, getting ready for another Industry Spotlight. Molly, set the scene again for us. Give us the time frame and how we can attend.
Sure. So the Med Tech Industry Spotlight event is today at 4 p.m. at Innovate Newport. It'll go to about 6:15, 6:30. Starts off with some exhibit tables and networking that really puts a spotlight on startups in the med tech space. Then we all go into the conference hall for a panel discussion led by moderator Aidan Petrie, whom we heard from. We'll hear some words from Neil Steinberg, who's the chairman of the Rhode Island Life Science Hub, which will be really interesting. And then we'll hear from three startup founders on our panel at various stages. So we've heard on this call today, we've heard from our moderator, we've heard from one of the panelists, and now we're going to hear from one of our exhibitors, a startup founder, Aaron Peterson, who is the founder of Emmy. Welcome, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
Aaron, we just spoke with Melissa, who's the founder of Flourish Care, and it reminds me every time I speak with the founders, it's to me innovation comes out of a need or an opportunity, right? And I'm so inspired, by people like you who saw an opportunity to make something better or easier or more affordable or better for the environment or whatever it is. So amazing what you're doing. Can you tell us a little about your company?
Yeah, at Emmy, we have a smart birth control app. And the problem we solve is that every given month, about 1 in 3 women on the pill either forget their pill or they're late with their pill. And it is a very nerve-wracking thing to be a person on the pill, to be a woman on the pill, not want to get pregnant and forget one. So we help women make sure they remember to take their pill.
And how does that work?
Well, we've got three different things we do in our app. Within our app, we help you log your pill every day. You can either click a button, and it's a very satisfying sort of click when you check, or you can use our smart pill case and it tracks it automatically. If you do forget, we send you text reminders, very subtle, very private, but we send you text reminders that say, hey, you forgot to take your pill, go ahead and take that. And if you really forget, so you completely miss it for the day, we track where you are in your cycle and we send you advice the next few days on alternate forms of birth control you might want to use to augment your pills while you get everything back in cycle.
Right. Wow. How did you come up with this idea? What's the story behind it?
Emmy was originally founded out of Stanford and was acquired by a company that I was working with called Simple Health, where we did telehealth for birth control pills. And there was a point at which Simple Health was being acquired by a bigger company, and Emmy didn't quite make sense within their portfolio, but there were, thousands of users of Emmy. They had all been logging their data. I really wanted to make sure that this company continued. And so I started a company here in Rhode Island. I moved it from San Francisco to Rhode Island, and we've been carrying it on and growing it since last June.
Good for you. Wow. And I would love to hear a little bit about, some of the ways in which you have found support in the growth of this company, but also challenges that you face. I mean, So challenges and also, you know, support, if you could speak to those two different topics.
Yeah, the support in Rhode Island has been fantastic. We were very thoughtful about picking Rhode Island. We could have been in a couple of other places. And that has panned out for us. NEMIC has been great for us. Jeanette Numbers and her team up in Providence at Nova Design is world class. They are great to brainstorm with. You know, they rival anybody that you could meet anywhere else in the country. There's a really powerful women's group here in Newport run by a woman named Ellen Nichols that we just love. We go every month. And then you also have things here like the Venture Cafe at Innovate Newport, and those have been really good. Kirby and Kirby rent a space down at the Gumball Factory building down there on 2nd, and we really love it down there. It's just a very vibrant community of small companies. And then I also find that in Newport, there's a really great set of people that you can tap into for brainstorming. You know, Toonie Schartner, I think a lot of people know her. Jeff Poole, who actually used to be in the Gumball Factory building, is another one. And they're really great. The biggest challenge for us that we face is that people who use birth control pills need to know about our app. And most people marketing apps today use social media. And we can't, because most social media doesn't accept ads for anything birth control related. So we use Reddit, which is incredibly powerful for us digitally. And then we spend a lot of time on outreach like this, like being on this radio show.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't even know that about you can do social media posts.
Yeah, it's a challenge for us.
Yeah, yeah. Do you hope? I mean, how big is your company now? How many?
We have seven people right now, and you know, Newport has been really good for us too. We're a hybrid environment, so we have people come in a couple days a week, and then work from home a couple of days a week, and it is not very hard, especially in the spring and the summer, to get the team to show up in the office at Newport. It gets a little bit challenging sometime with, you know, bridge construction, but it's worked out pretty well for us. So we've got seven part-time people, full-time people, hybrid people here in town, and we're looking to continue to grow here.
That's exciting. Well, I hope that any listeners who want to come to the event today, there are still tickets available. It's free. There's free beverages and food. And you can hear a lot more about your company, Emmy, as well as about 9 other startups in the med tech space will be exhibiting as well. So hopefully, you know, we'll have over 100 people there. So Erin, hopefully you'll get some good visitors at your exhibit table.
I'm looking forward to it.
it really was a great part of the last industry spotlight. People love the exhibits and the little mini fair that was going on. Great chance to talk one-on-one, do some networking. So that's going to be very, very exciting. And Erin, I'm sure you'll do very, very well. Just for someone that may not be able to attend, how can we find out more about Emmy?
Best way to find out is to go to emmy.com, emme.com.
Excellent. Now, Molly, we can still get in on the spotlight and all of what is going on this afternoon?
Yes, you can. Yes, anyone can. So as I say, it's free. We prefer that you register in advance. Our registration is on Eventbrite. All you have to do is type in Innovate Newport MedTech Industry Spotlight. If you can't do it, don't have time, just come on by.
Right. Well, we look forward to another great industry spotlight today at Innovate Newport. Molly Fraser-Williams, thanks again for a great hour.